The bugler needs no alarm. In the musty, close canvas darkness, his smallish hands fumble for the matchbox, scratch the blue sulfurous tip against the box, the match catching and burning, and finally the golden kerosene glow of the lantern, the wick burning like a lung on fire. He yawns, rubs the sleep from his eyes. In this new light, he seeks and finds his glasses, and now can make out the familiar particularities of his tent, its shadows, his things. An owl hoots from the crown of a nearby maple as the boy flaps open the tent and shivers in the pre-dawn cold. His bare feet move lightly over the well-trod camp soil. He tugs his white underwear down and, trembling, sends an arc of piss onto the big accepting fronds of the unseen ferns. It is a pleasant sound, like rainwater bouncing off a canvas awning. Then back into the tent, now that much warmer for the flame of the Coleman. It is a race until dawn. The youngest in his troop of some 30 boys, Nelson sleeps alone. His possessions are neatly organized into piles. Socks, underwear, shorts, books. Shirts and trousers hang from a line that he has erected to follow the tent's central pole. Mornings, he is glad of the tent's solitude. But at nights, the campsite and forest are alive with the low murmuring and high giggling of boys and their nocturnal conversations. This reminds him of his loneliness. It is the fifth summer he has visited Camp Chippewa, and the second time he has had a tent to himself. Sometimes he creeps out around midnight to watch the kabuki theater of the other boys' flashlights, hear the pages of comic books turning and the plastic crinkling of candy wrappers, smell their contraband cigarettes. His father half-heartedly volunteered to bunk with him, but both parent and son recognized in this gesture something ultimately embarrassing. No, it was better for Nelson to be on his own. Perhaps at some point in the week, he might gain a roommate. Some other young scout badly homesick or alienated by his peers and in need of refuge. Some boy who'd accidentally wet his sleeping bag. Nelson would be ready. Ready to consolidate his belongings to one side of the tent as necessary. Ready to assemble another cot. Ready to be helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, cheerful. Now he carries a woven birch bark basket out of his tent toward the camp's fire ring of black scarred rocks. He walks past tents whose canvas walls seem to ripple with snores and dream noises rattling out into the night. Up above, the Milky Way spills out over the forest canopy in tiny pockets as purple and sparkling as amethyst or as pale blue as the heart of a glacier. He bends down beside the fire ring, holds his little hands over last night's coals. Residual heat radiates against his palms, warms the soft pads of his fingertips. He lowers himself to his knees and, leaning into the fire pit, begins blowing at the embers, his lungs well practiced from the bugle. After a minute or two of patient puffing, the fire begins to glow a drowsy red. From the basket, he removes a ball of dried grass, some pine cones, and sets this tinder on the coals. And then he blows and blows again until at last a fire licks up. Small flames, like the petals of some primal night orchid. The tinder catches, and now his hands go into the basket for more twigs, more pine cones. The fire leaps higher still. He stands, so limber and awake, and begins making a teepee of fire, using larger sticks now, until the fire is crackling and pushing the darkness back, back toward the roof of the forest, where the owl wings softly off, away from the roiling sparks and cone of fire reaching up toward the early morning sky. Nelson makes his way to the picnic table now, finds the grimy tea kettle, all covered in creosote and ash. He shakes the kettle. Hears no sloshing. Walks all the way back to his tent and returns to the now crackling fire, with a heavy canteen. Fills the kettle and sets it on the fireside grill to boil. Finally allows himself to exhale. He has always been a good fire starter.